ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from the sixth canto, chapter 16, text number 10. King Dhritaketu meets the Lord. Nahi asyati priyakaschin. Na priya svaparo api va Eka sarva diyam jishta Vidnam guna dosho Nahi asyati priyat kachin Na priya svaparo api va Eka sarva divyam drishta Kartridnam guna toshoha Word for word. Na, not. He, indeed. Asha, to the living entity. Asti, there is. Priyaha, dear. Kaschit, someone. Not. Priyaha, not dear. Sva, own. Para, other. Api, also. Ma, or. Eka, the one. Sarva, Saradiyam, of the varieties of intelligence. Vishta, the seer. Kartritnam, of the performers. Guna, Doshoha, of right and wrong activities. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinctions between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he's not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers, or mischief-mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities as the Supreme Personality, Godhead, but he has them in minute quantity because he is a small particle, shukshama, whereas the Supreme Lord is all-pervading and great. So Supreme Lord, there are no friends, enemies, or relatives. For he is completely free from all disqualifications of ignorance that characterizes the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he's extremely kind and favorable to his devotees, and he's not at all satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees. As the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Soham sarabhuteshu name dvesho asti priyaha. Vibhajanti tu mam bhakja mai te teshu chapiyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. Whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Supreme Lord has no enemies or friends, but he is inclined toward a devotee who is always engaged in devotional service. Similarly, elsewhere in the Gita, chapter 16, verse 19, the Lord says, Tadaham drishta kuran samsarveshu naradhanam sipani ashrayam ashbuham ashru eva yonishu. Those who are envious and miscreants, or lowest among men, are cast by me in the ocean of material existence into demoniac species of life. The Lord is extremely antagonistic toward those who are envious of devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill his enemies. For example, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill Hiranyakashipu. Although Hiranyakashipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord, since the Lord is a witness of everyone's activities, he is a witness of the action of the enemies of his devotees, and he is inclined to punish them. In other cases, however, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and give the results of one's sinful or pious actions. Om Arginata Ramdasya Chinatina Sakaya Saksu Tamjaya Tasme Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gramayam Dantisma Parantikam Vanchakopa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Padnam Bhavnyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivaste Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Translation once again. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he's not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief mongler. He's only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. So Maharaj Tritiketu had 10 million wives. But unfortunately, they were all barren. They cannot produce a child or a son. So Maharaj Tritiketu was very unhappy. Because he wanted to have a son to deliver his forefathers and keep himself from going to hell. Because sons can perform the last rites for the relatives called pinda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did that. When his father died, he went to Gaya and performed the last rites for his father. Of course, we don't do that in the Krishna conscious movement. It's not required. But in they used to do that. But this age, we just chant Hare Krishna. So Angira Muni came to Maharaj Chittaketu to understand why he was lamenting. So he gave him a, he's, he asked, he told him why he was lamenting, and Angira Muni gave him, made it possible for Chittaketu to have a son. But he said, this son will be the source of great jubilation and the source of great lamentation. Chittaketu didn't know what he meant by lamentation, but he was happy that he'd have his desire fulfilled. Now, Angira Muni could have instructed Chittaketu at that time about the difference between the jiva, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Chittaketu wasn't ready to hear instructions at that time. So now, after the son was born, the king was very affectionate to his son and to his one wife, and all the other wives were neglected by the king. So a few of the wives became very envious, lost their intelligence, and gave poison to the child and killed the murderer of the child. Then Chittaketu came under great lamentation. Him and his wife and all the queens were lamenting piteously. So then Angira Muni and Narada Muni came again to the king in disguise to dissipate his lamentation. So this verse, beginning with verse 4 to verse 12, it is when the son died, Angira Muni and Narada Muni, by his potency, brought the son back to life so the son could speak. So the son is speaking here. And this also, similar incident happened at the house of Srivas Thakur. When Srivas Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya would do kirtan. And when kirtan was going on, Srivas Thakur's son suddenly died from some disease in another room. And the women started to lament and cry, which is quite natural. But when Srivas Thakur went there and said, the Lord is doing kirtan, his child has left his world, left his body during the Lord's kirtan in a very auspicious moment, no one should cry or lament and disturb the Lord's kirtan, or else I'm going to do, tie a rope around my neck and put a pot on it and drown myself in the Ganges. So then the kirtan went on, and then after some time, 7.5 hours, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, did something happen in your house? And Srivas said, yes, my son has died. But Lord Chaitanya said, well, why didn't you tell me? Srivas said, well, you weren't doing kirtan. I didn't want to disturb your kirtan. This was 7.5 hours after the son died. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that he had a devotee who was so detached that instead of lamenting for his son, he wanted Lord Chaitanya to continue his kirtan. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the son and asked the son, why did you leave Srivas Thakur's house? And the son replied, I've had so many mothers and fathers, and this is, I had my karma. Due to my karma, I was meant to stay here for a certain amount of time, and when my karma ran out, then I had to leave. But even though I'm no longer the son of Srivas, he's prayed to the Lord that I can always remain your humble servant, engaged in devotional service. So the same thing is happening here. The Son is speaking very elevated philosophy to Maharaj Chittaketu. Even though he had died, he was meant to brought back to life momentarily by Narada Muni, because the difficulty for Chittaketu was he had become overwhelmed by grief and lamentation. There are 64 items in the Nectar of Devotion, and there's 10, first 10 and second 10. The sixth item is that one should not put oneself in lamentation or become overwhelmed with lamentation over loss or gain. So as it says in the Padma Purana, if anyone has lamentation or embarrassed by this body, lamentation, then the Lord will not sit in his heart. In other words, you cannot get prema bhakti if your heart is filled with lamentation. So lamentation is a natural thing. If someone dies in the family, if you can't tell the family members, they shouldn't lament. But lamentation is not something permanent. It's there for a while. The funerals, they have the funeral ceremony, and you can't bring back the past. No matter, the past sleeps. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the past sees just no future in our grave, and the past sleeps. So, with the proper understanding, if someone leaves his body, it's not, that person was not in that body to begin with. The people lamenting for their father, my father is gone, but his body is there. So he actually, where is your father? You never actually even knew your father, because he has nothing, he wasn't that body. He was a spirit soul, Humber Masmi. I tried to tell that to one man outside a few days ago. He couldn't understand at all that I'm not this body. Everybody in the material world under illusion, hankara, vimuna, ma. Due to false ego, when we come in the material world, we begin to identify with this body, I, me, mine. So you have to give up this lamentation in devotional service. Something may happen, but we don't. We just accept it as Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens, we accept as Krishna's mercy. So here, the Son is describing how the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Soam Sarabhuteshu. Achintabhaiva Diptapa, that was described in the previous verse, means that we are simultaneously one and different from the Lord. In quality, we are the same, but in quantity, we are not the same. The Lord is great, and we are small. Krishna Gornitaya Krishna Bhavarada Shama Lita Vishaka Brahma Bhakti Santa. This is called shukshma. The jiva is shukshma, we're small. If you take one drop of seawater, it contains all the qualities of the sea itself. But that one drop can never become the sea. So the last narrow maya is when someone thinks that I become God. Of course, Prabhupada said that we're the kicking God. If you're God, then we kick you in the head with boot. Prove that you're God. Someone says they're God. We say, okay, then you show your universal form. Arjuna asked Krishna on the battle, etc., to show his universal form to prove to people that he was God. Of course, no one can do that. But still they're claiming to be God. One person, his name was Pundraka. He had falsely claimed to be Vasudeva. So he sent a messenger to Krishna and Dwarka and saying that I am Vasudeva and you have taken my symbols, therefore kindly return my symbols and surrender unto me. And Krishna and all the assembled personalities laughed for a very long time. And Krishna replied to the messenger, you tell your Pundraka that I'll surrender my disc to his head. So when he met Pundraka on the battlefield, Pundraka looked like Vishnu. He had four arms, ear-shaped earrings, helmet, silk dhoti, yellow dhoti, all the markings of Vishnu, but it was clearly an imitation. And Krishna said, looked at him and smiled, and took out his disc and cut off his head. So this is the cheap people. People claim to be God. They want to cheat people. In Bhaktivinoda Thakura's time, there was a person named Bhikshu who was also could show some magic feat and cheat people and get many followers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura was a district magistrate. He arrested this person, put him in jail, brought him to court, and proved that he wasn't God. Well, they knew, someone knew that his power was in his hair. So when they brought him to court, they cut off his hair, and he lost all his power. So Brahma Samhita clearly states, when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he brought back two books, the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, and Krishna Karnamrita by Bilvamangala Thakura. Brahma Samhita says, Agni Yasha Sakalendri Viti Manti Pashyanti Panti Kayanti Chiranjaganti Ananchinmayara Sar Ujala Vigrahasha Govindamai Pushitamaha Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses himself the full-fledged function of all the organs, and eternally sees and maintains and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So Krishna has a body, but his body is Satchidananda Vigraha. And the Krishna also manifests himself as the deity. If one thinks the deity is made of stone or wood, then he's possessed of a hellish mentality. Although the deity may appear to be material, at the time of the Pranapatishtha installation, Krishna agrees to enter that form and to accept our service. So we don't think deities are idol worship or stone, but the Supreme Lord is there. And for the devotees like Madhavendra Puri or the Brahman and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they could understand this, that the Lord was in this form as the deity, was not different than the Lord. But we may not understand that, but we can at least have some appreciation and try to develop our bhakti or love for the deities. Since we have material eyes, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, unless our eyes are tinged with the salve of love, then it's not possible to see the Lord or understand the Lord. But because the Lord is so kind, by his causes of mercy, he appears in his archa vigraha form, a deity form, to accept our service, to accept our devotion. So we have the Mangal Arti, so everyone can come and take darshan of the Lord. And this, the Lord wants to see you. We think we want to see the Lord, but the Lord actually wants to see you. And he's pleased by the activities of his devotees. Advaitam achyutam anandimananta rupam aja purana purusham navajovanam cha vedeshu dulavam dulavam amabhakto govindamai pusha tamaha bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primal Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but attainable by pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. Look, there's one temple in Madras, they have Krishna with a mustache. And then they told Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, bogus. Because Krishna is a blooming youth, he never gets over 16 years old. So, even when he goes to Dwarka, when he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, and he comes back to Vrindavan, and he was 100 years, after 100 years, he was still looking like he was 16 or 20 years old. Even on the Balakut, etc., he was a great-grandfather. He was looking like 16 years old. So Krishna, his body is not like our body. Our body is subject to change. We take birth, we we grow, we remain for some time, we have offspring, we dwindle, and we die. Janmamrityu Jaravadi. These are the miseries of material life. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone has to go through these changes. You have to get old and you have to die. No matter how many promises the scientists will make, saying they can stop death, they can keep people from getting old, they can stop disease, they can't do it because it is the laws of nature. And the law of nature cannot be transgressed by any material scientist. They may seemingly do open-heart surgery and give someone a new heart, prolong his life for some time. But they're not actually doing that. It is according to the person's karma that he can live or die for some time more. So here it says that Krishna is not partial. Soham Sarabhuteshu. He's equal to all. Because Krishna has nothing to do with the three modes of material nature. He's always on the spiritual platform. When we're in the modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, then we make distinctions between friends and enemies, happiness and stress, heat, cold. But in the spiritual world, in the Golok Vrindavan, there's no such, there are no modes of nature, there are no distinctions. Everything is Satchitananda, eternally full of knowledge and bliss. And devotee is also eternally full of knowledge and bliss. So the Supreme Lord, he is not partial, but it's like he does favor his devotees. In the fifth canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that there's a non-moving living, first the dead matter, then there's non-moving living entities, then there's the trees and plants, then there's the aquatics, then there's birds, beasts, then there's human beings, then there's demigods, and then there's Indra, and then there's Shiva, and then there's Brahma, and then there's the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord is not the, but the Brahman. Krishna says that no one is more dear to me than the Brahman. Aradnam Saresham, Vishnu Aradnam Param, Tasna Param Devi Tadiyam Samacharam. Lord Shiva told Goddess Durga, my dear Durga, although the Vedas mention worship of demigods, worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost and ultimately recommended. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is recommended the service to the Vaishnavas or related to Lord Vishnu. So, one may think this is partiality, but it's not. Just like the father, if the children are playing together and there's some danger, then the father naturally wants to protect his own child first. So, Krishna is not ungrateful. Here it says the Lord, he killed Aranyakashipu, who was a demon. But he gave Aranyakashipu liberation because Aranyakashipu was the father of Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee. So Krishna gives liberation to demons he kills. And the Balakut, etc., anyone who knew who Krishna was, or even saw his smiling face, attained liberation, went to Vaikuntha. And those who didn't know who Krishna was also attained liberation, but they went to the Brahmajyoti, in personal liberation. So the Krishna, when he kills the demons, they get liberation, but the Vishnu forms of Krishna, the other incarnations, they don't always give liberation to demons that are killed. Or even they give darshan to their devotees, but their devotees don't get liberated immediately. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he got the darshan of the Lord, was a 5-year-old boy, but then he ruled the world for 36,000 years as a devotee. And then his brother was killed by some yakshas, some demons. So Dhruva Maharaj killed many yakshas for the action of one. And then Lord Brahma came and told him to stop killing so many people. So he stopped. But because he killed so many yakshas, and he was a pure devotee, it wasn't an ordinary thing. So when one is killed by the Lord or his devotee, is a special benediction. So those who were killed by Dhruva Maharaj attained Mahalok, which is the planet where the person is a brahmacharya, or remains a celibate his whole life, can go there and perform devotional service. And that planet is not annihilated at the end of Brahma's life, but all those residents go back to Godhead at the end of Brahma's life. So it was a benediction. To be killed by the Lord, or be killed by the Lord's devotee, that's a benediction. But it's not partiality. And those who are envious, it says that he puts them in demoniac species birth after birth. So the Lord is the observer, the witness. He's simply witnessing as super soul activities of the jiva. And the jiva, we have free will. So because we misuse our free will, we came into the material world and decided to try to enjoy the material world and lord it over material nature. But the Lord does not interfere with one's free will. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one servant, Kali Krishna Das. And then when Lord was in South India on his tour of South India, this servant was allured by some Badahari, some gypsy women. And they can control people's minds. So they allured this Krishna Das, Lord Chaitanya's servant. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's omniscient, all-knowing, could have prevented the whole thing. Because he misused his free will, he went to the camp of the gypsies and was trying to enjoy. And Lord Chaitanya had to go there and pull him out by his hair. And when the Badahari saw Lord Chaitanya taking Krishnadas away, they attacked the Lord. But the weapons they were holding turned around and attacked themselves, and they all ran away. So Lord Chaitanya kept his servant, but when he went back to Puri, he rejected him for misusing his independence. So this is the nature. But a devotee sees everything as Krishna's mercy. Tatenu kampam sushukshamano bhajam evatma vitam nipakam vidvag vipur bir idam namaste jiveta yo mukta parasai dayabak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reaction of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisance with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, where it has become his rightful claim. So whether we're in happiness or distress, pain, pleasure, we accept it as the mercy of the Lord and go on with our devotional service. Of course, if we do something stupid, the devotees were, in the early days, were negotiating with a lawyer or landlord over some property. And Prabhupada told them directly, don't give the man any money till he hands over the papers. So the devotees weren't experienced in dealing with these kind of people, and they didn't listen to Prabhupada. They gave the man a deposit, down payment, and the man then said he couldn't give them the property. So they went to Prabhupada and they said, we lost the money, it's Krishna's mercy. But Prabhupada said, no, that's not Krishna's mercy, that's your stupidity. Because they didn't follow Prabhupada's instructions. If they had followed Prabhupada's instructions and lost the money, that would have been different. So we don't blame Krishna for our misdeeds. We only should follow Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Act accordingly. Whatever happens, is we accept. When Maharaj Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati, he said, Lord Shiva told Mother Parvati, Narayana Parana Sarve Nakaschin Bidjati Sarva Pavarga Narayakeshu Api. Api Tadya Ta Darshanaha. Devotees surely engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God, Narayan. Never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. So the devotees in heaven, where the enjoyment spirit is 100 times, 1,000 times greater than here, but he can't do any service, he thinks it's hell. But if a devotee's in hell and he can execute devotional service, then he thinks it's heaven. So the devotee and the Lord, there's a mutual reciprocation, because the devotee's on the spiritual platform and the Lord's on the spiritual platform. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he displayed his pastimes, Rasalila pastimes, different pastimes, which have nothing to do with this material world. Krishna's body is Satchinanda Vigraha, and the gopis also had spiritual bodies. So when Krishna played on his flute, the gopis came, despite the the protests of their husbands and family members, they ran to Krishna in the dead of night. And it may seem like some sex relation between boy and girl, but it's nothing to do with this material world. Krishnadas Kaviraj says the gopi's relationship with Krishna is the difference between iron and gold, or day and night. It's completely spiritual. And Sukadeva Goswami only briefly described Rasalila pastime, 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, because the conditioned souls cannot understand so much about it. And Krishna is called the supreme debauchee. So he does many things which seem to be material, but they're not. Because the gopis didn't have material bodies, and Krishna doesn't have a material body. And so because we're conditioned in a material body, we think that Krishna's dancing with the gopis is something material, but it's not. And in a spiritual body, there's no bad smell, there's no nothing, everything is very pleasing. They don't get old, they don't get gray, they don't, none of these things happen. So Krishna surrender what is required. Chitraketu, after hearing the words from his dead son, gave up his lamentation and became a great devotee and got the darshan of the Lord. because he couldn't get the mercy, Lord, until he surrendered. Sarvadharma Pichaja, Mamekam Saranam Jaya, Amtuam Savapame No, Moksha Sami Mahasujaha. So Krishna says, give up all variety of religiosity and just surrender unto me. I'll protect you from all sinful activities. Do not fear. So this is, we have to be fully surrendered souls and simply depend on Krishna in all circumstances, whether we're in happiness or distress, whether we have pain or pleasure. We should accept everything as Krishna's mercy. And we should not unnecessarily lament over loss, whatever it may be, for a long period of time. And lamentation is there for a short period, but we come in this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. So nothing actually belongs to us. But we have this misconception, I, me, mine. The tenth offense of chanting the holy name is to think I, me, mine. So, and also to be inattentive while chanting. So we have to give up this conception to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. We have to give up our misconception that I'm this body and this is my wife and this is my children and so many things like that. And we have to try to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to chant and just try to hear the mantra, not be distracted, not be inattentive. So we should rise early as possible and try to chant at least 16 rounds. Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani says we should chant 16 good rounds. You may chant 12 rounds in the morning before darshan, and then forget about your rounds till 8 o'clock at night and chant 4 more or during the day sometime. But all 16 rounds should be done attentively and very as much as we can, with as much devotion as we can. Like all devotional practices should be done with great care and attention. In this way, we will not fall victim to Maya or fall away from devotional service if we do all our activities with great care and attention. So this is the Prabhupada came to teach Navashesa Shunyavadi, to teach us that God is a person, what his name is, what his form is, what his address is. Everything is there in the Krishna consciousness movement. Everything is there in all the scriptures, but Bhagavad Gita contains everything of all scriptures, but Bhagavad Gita has more information that's not given in the other scriptures. So simply if we study the Bhagavad Gita, study Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the information is there, everything we need to know about devotional service is contained in the books by Prabhupada and in, by the other books, books by the Six Goswamis and previous Acharyas. So tomorrow is Janmashtami, and 64 items of devotional service. The 39th item is that one should observe Janmashtami. This is one of the regulated principles, one of the limbs. So we observe Janmashtami by fasting till midnight. And this is not easy. But you should fast till midnight, try to chant 64 rounds. As we have extra time, try to increase our devotion. You can drink water, but shouldn't eat anything. But if you're, that's not for children or people over 70 years old. But if you're not diseased, you're healthy, then you can observe this. Because by fasting on Janmashtami, Krishna is pleased. And since this is one of the regulated principles in the devotional service, then we should all follow this very strictly. And then the next day is Prabhupada's appearance day. And because we fast for all the immediate acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and Srila Prabhupada, we fast a half a day. So you fast till midnight, then you break your fast with some light Ekadasi Prasad. The next day, you also fast till noon, and then we'll have a feast. So in this way, we observe these two festivals very nicely. Now, one announcement. Tomorrow, for Janmashtami, there will be Krishna book reading of Srila Prabhupada's reading in Srila Prabhupada's house at 4 p.m. Please come and read Krishna book to Srila Prabhupada. So 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, someone wants to read Krishna book. Hare Krishna. Now I have to go for some seva, so anyone has questions, you can ask me later. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Brahmananda ki.